This morning, I want to go to Mark chapter 8. And while you page there, I want to share a story with you that to contrast rational belief versus trust. Now, there was once this guy who set out to, via tightrope, cross the Niagara Falls. And word got out and people gathered. They wanted to see this guy walking across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. So this guy got ready. He had his balancing pole with him, and he crossed the Niagara Fall. And so the crowd was amazed, and he decided, okay, well, let me go back, you know. Then he's doing it twice. And he gets to the other side, and he asks the crowd, do you think I can do it without this balancing pole? And so the crowd had some mixed feelings, and then the guy goes without his balancing pole, and he crosses. And then he comes back, and the crowd's like, oh, wow, this guy is really talented. And then he asks, do you guys think I can do it with a wheelbarrow? And like, yeah, sure, maybe. So he crossed with the wheelbarrow, and he came back, and the crowd was like, oh, wow, this guy's really talented. This guy, I mean, what can he not do? And he said, should I fill this wheelbarrow with cement? And they said, yeah, well, maybe you can do it. And he went, he crossed, and he came back, and the crowd was just like so amazed. And then he asked, do you think I can put a person in this wheelbarrow and cross the Niagara Falls and come back? And the crowd unanimously at this point said, yes, we believe you can do it. And then the guy said, okay, come. So there's this contrast between rational belief and trust. That we can believe things rationally, but when it comes to trusting in that belief, he's like, uh-oh, please don't pick me. Pick someone else. Let someone else go into the wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls. And I think sometimes in our relationship with God, we grow to a point of that we believe He is God and that we know He can do all these mighty things. But to trust in Him as that God who can work these miracles is sometimes a bit something different. And I want to read a situation where the disciples found themselves in a similar predicament. I mean, they've been following Jesus for a very long time. They saw Him cast out demons. They hear the powerful teachings. They are the recipients of the parables, and not only just the parables, but Jesus explains the parables to them. They've seen Jesus feed the 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish. They've seen Jesus feed the 4,000 with a few loaves. And then we get into the situation right after Jesus fed the 4,000, and then He crosses to a place, and the Pharisees were like, well, give us a sign so that we can know who You are. And Jesus had been leaving a trail of signs wherever He went. And yet they asked for a sign. And then now Jesus is in the boat with His disciples. And this is what unfolds. Mark chapter 8 verse 14. And you will see something we call irony this morning. But don't find it too ironic, because it might be a mirror to your own self. But let's read. Mark 8 verse 14. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And He cautioned them, saying, Jesus cautioned His disciples, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to Him, 12. And the seven for the 4,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to Him, 7. And He said to them, do you not yet understand? Do you not yet understand? Let us pray. Father, I thank You that we can be here this morning, and I pray may You open our hearts and our minds to understand what You are saying to us, and may You speak through me. May You anoint the sermon may it land on fruitful ground this morning, that Jesus be lifted high. In your mighty name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. So now, these disciples, this is just on the back of Jesus feeding the 4,000. He just fed 4,000 people with a few loaves of bread. Now the disciples that are in the boat, they have one loaf of bread, but they are arguing between themselves or discussing the fact that we don't have enough food. We don't have enough food. And Jesus responds and he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they hear Jesus, what he's saying, and they just continue discussing the fact that they just have this one loaf. They just have this one piece of bread. And Jesus asked them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? What are they not seeing? We'll get into that. And this whole discourse, and Jesus reminds them of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, and yet they complain, or they are discussing the fact that they have no bread. They're not realizing they have the bread of life with them in the boat. And if Jesus could multiply, I'm giving you the spoiler. I'm giving you the end in the beginning, then we can go through it. He is saying to them, if he could feed the 5,000 with such few resources, and if he could feed the 4,000 with such few resources, what can he do with the one loaf in the boat? But their hearts were not seeing Jesus for who he is. They were not perceiving. And Jesus warns them of this hardened heart, that they are walking with Jesus, they are seeing the miracles, yet when they are in a tricky situation, they think about their own limited resources without realizing they have the unlimited source with them in the boat, Jesus. Some say that the way Mark writes this passage and the way he uses the word loaf and bread, he wants the reader to see that this loaf refers to Jesus that they have in the boat, that they have Jesus with them in the boat. But let's just go through the passage. Now, this yeast, when we think of yeast, when those who like to bake bread, which is not me, but there are some people out there that like to bake bread, or well, at least you like to eat bread, that yeast is that fresh ingredient that you add to the dough that makes the bread light and fluffy and just so, such a pleasing texture. But back in first century AD, it was something similar to the way people make sourdough. So today, like sourdough is old to the craze in our modern day, but the yeast in the ancient world, it was a bit more dangerous. They didn't have fridges. They didn't have the cleanest working environments always. There was no handy-andy. There was no sunlight. There was no sanitizing spray. They had what they had, and that was it. So anyway, so the way they produce the yeast is that they produced it by keeping back a piece of the previous week's dough, storing it in suitable conditions, maybe somewhere dark where it can sort of be cool, and then they added juices to promote the process of fermentation of that dough, so that it can be used as a yeast for the next batch. But this homemade rising agent was full of health hazards, that if something were to happen or that piece of yeast would become tainted, it would ruin the next batch and the next batch and the next batch. And Jesus is warning the disciples that if you allow a little bit of this unbelief into your heart, it's going to spill over and it's going to multiply. And Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the corruption. Beware of the hardened hearts. That was my next question, is what is this leaven of the Pharisees? Well, Jesus says it's a hardened heart, that they are seeing the miracles of Jesus, and yet they still don't understand. Just before they are on this boat, Jesus is at this place, and the Pharisees come to him and say, we demand a sign. And Jesus says, Truly I say to you, no sign will be given this generation because they are hardened, that even if a sign is given to them, that they don't see it because they've been seeing the signs, they've been seeing the miracles, and yet they don't understand. Now, what was the disciples doing in this boat that caused Jesus to say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? What were they doing? They were growing in hardened hearts, that they were focusing on the little they have. And they failed to see that they have all they need with them in the boat, Jesus, the bread of life. They were focusing on the mundane little things, that how are we going to survive with this boat? Failing to realize that should they ever run out of resources, Jesus will be there and he will multiply whatever they have, because he's been doing it and he's been showing them that he is the giver of everything they need. But people do this. Sometimes people insist that Jesus provide a sign that conforms to their understanding, to their own goals and admiration, before they will to commit themselves to believe. Like, we hear people say this, that if God will only do this, God, if you will only do this one thing for me, then I promise I will be good, and I promise I will go to church, and I promise I will begin to give. That they give God a goal and say, if you meet the sign, then I'll serve you. And that's what the Pharisees was doing, and that is the caution that Jesus warns, that we don't fall for the same unbelief, saying that, Jesus, if you can only just do this, then I will. God, if you can just give me breakthrough in this area of my life, then I'll be free to serve you. God, if I can just be in the next season, then I'll spend more time with you. Guess what? The next season is going to come. Breakthrough is going to come. But you would not have grown into the season that is waiting for you, because you've waited for God to accomplish what you want him to accomplish. And that when you get there, you're not going to rise to the occasion. So sometimes God is slow to move, because we might be a little bit slow to respond and say, okay, God, I am in this season, I'm in this place in my life. What is it that you want to grow in me? What is it that you want to do in me? The disciples, they were focusing on what they have, on the little they have, realizing what they don't have. And it limited their understanding of who Jesus is. And I think the warning or the encouragement for us this morning is that we come to know Jesus for who he truly is, so that we don't have to look at the lack as a negative thing and say, God, I only have this, but I know you can bless this. God, I only have this, but I know you can work miracles with this little that I have to bring, rather than to say, God, I only have this to give, so I can't do anything. God, I'm not grown enough. I'm not mature enough in my faith. So maybe when I'm grown, then I will go and do what you called me to do. Because maybe the focus shifts onto the mundane, the everyday concerns, constantly anxious about insufficient resources. God, I'm not smart enough. God, I cannot stand in front of people and speak. God, I'm just so limited by this. And if I only had this, if people liked me more, if I was just a little bit more popular, all of those things creep into us, and we take those limiting resources that we have. I'm not speaking financially. I'm speaking about you in yourself maybe still being limited. And you take that limitation and you put it on God and say, well, God, I cannot do what you want me to do because I'm limited. And Jesus is warning against that focus, constantly anxious about the limited resources or the insufficient resources when we have Jesus. We've never been meant to do it alone. When Jesus said that when I die, I will send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will come. And he will empower you. He give you gifts and signs and everything you need to accomplish what God has called you for. We are celebrating Pentecost this Sunday, so I'm just going to share a little bit on that, is that we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are insufficient in your resources, and that's the point, that human beings could never own up or measure up. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit for us to empower us, to change us, to equip us, to train us, so that we can become who God called us to be. And without the Holy Spirit in your life, you are always going to be stuck in the boat looking at what you don't have and not seeing God that He's already given you everything you need. And maybe we need to respond and just say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Lead me, move me, grow me. What do I need to do today? How can I respond to the call you have on my life? It's not about what we don't have. It's about who we have that matters the most. And let me get back. So disciples, they did not have enough bread to feed to the people. So what was going through their minds at the time at the feedings, when you go and read the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, they are asking these questions. We do not have enough bread. Where will we even get bread? We're in a deserted place. Not once did they have that response. They had that response twice. The difference between the 5,000 feeding and the 4,000 feeding is in the 5,000 feeding, the disciples responded and said, these guys are hungry. We need to do something. And Jesus said, well, what do you have? And all these material questions came into their minds that we don't have enough. Where will we even buy bread? Will the villages around us even have bread at this hour that we can go and buy it? And it's just a logistical nightmare. And Jesus is like, well, I didn't ask you what you don't have. Go and find what you can find and bring it. And He blessed it in that. But the feeding of the 4,000, it was Jesus that brought up concern for the crowd, saying, these guys are hungry. We need to do something. And the disciples, again, after seeing the 5,000 feeding, they go and say, well, where will we get bread? We don't have enough. In the boat, again, we don't have enough. One loaf for 12 disciples plus Jesus. I mean, how long were they going to be planning on spending time on that boat? I don't know. But that was their heart condition, is that they were focused on what they don't have rather than on Jesus. That their anxiety over such things kept them from looking at Jesus and seeing what He has done in their midst. I mean, Jesus recalls even the events, these events, asking, do you remember the 5,000? How many loaves did we have and how many baskets? And they remember. They call and say, no, we had this many fish and we had this many baskets. Jesus said, well, do you remember the 4,000? Yes, we had this many loaves and this many baskets. And Jesus responds, do you still not yet understand? Are the hearts hardened that they saw Jesus feeding the 5,000, the 4,000, but they cannot grasp that He can feed the 12? Sometimes, well, we need to ask, are our hearts hardened that we see God doing incredible things in the lives of other people, and we glorify and we share testimonies of how God impacted other people's lives, how they healed someone that was terminally ill, how God gave breakthrough in relationships and forgiveness in a family, just mended relationships, and how God took someone that was addicted to drugs and alcohol, set them free drastically. But for some reason, we cannot fathom or think that Jesus can do that for us as well. He's not just God of the crowds and the masses and everything else. He's your Lord and Savior as well. But it's that rational belief of, I know God can do this, but trusting that He can do it for you, sometimes like, let someone else get in the wheelbarrow. Let's see God do incredible things in their lives. But me, I'm just gonna be an observer. Or you can even look back in your own life and say, oh God, at this age you did this in my life. God, you did this in my life. God, you set me free from this and you did such incredible things in my life. But this one thing, nah. God, you can drastically change my life inside out, set me free, deliver me, restore me, give me your joy and your love, but you, God intervening in my marriage? Nah, that's God intervening in relationships. God breaking through in ministry? Well, yeah, maybe someone else, not me. In finances, yes, maybe God can give someone else financial wisdom and financial freedom, but maybe not me. And Jesus is still the same Jesus who works miracles, who heals, who saves, who restores. The disciples couldn't see God's reign and his kingdom breaking in their midst because they were looking at what they didn't have. And I'm telling you this morning that God's reign is still breaking in into your life. God's reign is still busy and working in your life. He's still active. He's still doing the same miracles. And if he can do it for the person next to you, he can do it for you. And to that we can say amen, that God, I thank you that you are not done with me yet. God, I thank you that you are still working in me, that you are still busy with stuff in my life. You are squeezing out the negative, you are squeezing out the old, and you are bringing in the new. But my focus is going to be on you, not what I don't have, not who I am now, but who you are, because you can change me. God took Saul, a murderous Pharisee, and he changed him into Paul, who went and preached the gospel, who gave up his own life and said, let me go to Rome for the sake of the gospel. These disciples in this boat, they could not see Jesus for who he is yet. But they went on to see Jesus crucified. They went on to see Jesus resurrected. And they went on to change the world. You and I, we sit here this morning because these disciples in the boat, they finally got it. And Jesus sent his Holy Spirit and the world just burst. And I want to ask you, are you ready this morning to change the world? And I want to ask a following question. Are you ready for God to change your world? Because your world needs to change. And if you continue to follow Jesus, he will multiply the resources of your understanding of who he is. He will multiply your faith. He will multiply your trust. But somewhere you just have to say, maybe put me in the wheelbarrow next. If I fall off, that's okay. I trust that God will do something if I fall off. But I'm going to put myself in that wheelbarrow and I'm going to go over the Niagara Falls and I'm just going to hold on for dear life and saying, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Because sometimes, before I get there, the disciples' biggest problem was not that they were blind, that they couldn't see Jesus. The problem is that they were blind, but they did not realize they were blind. They said, we just have one loaf. And Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Okay, Jesus. So, guys, we only have one loaf. May we not be blind to see Jesus for who he is without realizing that maybe I am blind. Maybe I am missing out on seeing Jesus for who he is, who the Word of God tells me he is. Not who we want to believe he is, but who he truly is based on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in us. But it's easy to look at the disciples and say, "Ach, yo, how are they so dense?" And then we realize we are actually holding up a mirror to ourselves and saying, well, are we not doing the same things? Am I still trusting God for that thing? Am I still going to put my hope and trust in God, irrespective of my circumstances or my resources? Maybe you are looking at Jesus through a lens of a traditional way of seeing things and warped by your own dreams, ambitions, culture, and beliefs. And we say, well, because this is my culture, this is who Jesus is. Because of my dreams, this is who Jesus is. Because of my ambitions, this is who Jesus is. And we need Jesus to come and take those lenses so that we can see God for who he is. I need these lenses so I can read. But maybe we don't get it right the first time. And that's okay. Because here's the thing. Jesus is patient. He was patient with the disciples and he's patient with you and I. He does not give up on you. He's going to stick with you until you get it. And when you get it, he's going to say, oh, wonderful. Let's go. Oh, God, I don't understand. Yes, it's okay. Just go. Just go. The same Jesus that could turn a few loaves and a few fish into a banquet for thousands. That same Jesus can transform your heart of stone into a heart of flesh so that you can be transformed to see Jesus for who He is. And when you see Him for who He is, you can then go to make Him known to your family and your friends in the workplace. Just radiate and say, "Oh, have you heard about Jesus? Can I pray for you? Is there something, some way that I can encourage you?" Just know, where you are is not where you're going to be next year. Put your faith in Jesus. The pain you're feeling, it's okay. You're not going to feel it for much longer. Jesus is doing something in your life. Just put your hope in Him. Just set your eyes on Him. Don't let the anxieties of the mundane or the lack of what you have or the lack of who you are keep you from seeing the powerful, life-changing God we serve. And we have everything we need. We have Jesus. The disciples had everything they need in the boat. They had Jesus, who loved them enough, who had enough grace with them to warn them and say, "You are missing something here." Next week, we are going to speak about two paragraphs after this, where Peter finally goes and he says, "You are Jesus, the Messiah." Then he gets it. But we are here this morning, so. There's something that happens when we look at our lack, when we look at the little resources we have or that we don't have. What happens are three things. We begin to doubt the power of Jesus to provide. We doubt that Jesus can change you. And that leads us to look at other resources. We begin to doubt the power of Jesus to provide. And leads us to look at other resources. Secondly, we begin to vent our anxiety. We begin to argue with others, which in turn leads for a break in community. And number three, the never-ending pursuit for daily bread distracts us from obeying God's will. And before I conclude, is that how do we break free from this looking at what we don't have to seeing Jesus for who He is? Because when we see Jesus for who He is, and that rational belief that we have that yes, Jesus is good, yes, Jesus is God, yes, Jesus sets free, that translates from rational belief into trust. How do we do that? How does that change happen? We look at Jesus and I go, "Okay, but I'm looking at Jesus, so what am I missing? How do I get to see Jesus for who He is?" And there's four steps, and I don't think there will be a sermon where at least three of these steps will not be in there, so I don't always mention them, but there's three steps. Read your Bible. Pray. Spend time with God. And I want to add a fourth one. Spend time with fellow believers, because you cannot grow in a vacuum. Last night I was making a nice braai, and I just... At the height of the heat, I took one log and I took it out and I put it on the side. It was not long and that fire stopped burning. It was next to a fire, just was not in the fire, and that log stopped burning. And sometimes we think we can grow apart from the body of Christ. And then we wonder why the flame stops burning. Why do we always feel like I need to come back again. I need to come back because we need one another. We need one another. And it helps us to see Jesus for who He is. Because Jesus gave us, summarized all of the laws into two. Love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to encourage you this morning to see Jesus for who He is. Don't look at what you don't have. Don't look at who you are now and say, "Well, that God cannot do anything because I'm here now." He can change you. If He can change your neighbor, He can change you. If He can change that drug addict and set him free, He can do it for you. If He can save someone else's marriage, He can save yours. If God can provide a spouse for someone else, He can provide a spouse for you. You just need to see Jesus for who He is and stop making our own plans and looking at what we don't have and marvel at this one loaf that they have in the boat without seeing the bread of life with Him. I mean, for Jesus, it's nothing. Let's just have this bread. There's one for each. Now you all have your own loaf. Don't argue and discuss about this one little loaf. That's what we do. So I want to encourage you this morning. Look to Jesus and see Him for who He is. And if that is something that's speaking to you and you're saying, oh, I just want to say, Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He gave His life for you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He's calling you to draw close to Him. Let us pray. Father, I thank You that You are speaking to us this morning, Father, and even to myself, it's a reminder of You are so good and You are God. You are the Creator of the universe and You hold all things in Your hand and You sustain life. You sustain everything. And You are so good and You are so gracious. And I pray in Jesus' mighty name that there be transformation in our lives. That Jesus, that You come and change our world so that we can go and change the world. I pray that we have a revelation that we can see Jesus, the Son of God, in all His glory and splendor for who You are. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen.